And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks, presented by Castrol Edge. DJ Bucky are with you today. And Buck, I feel like today, as we're kind of really kicking off the draft season officially, we should talk about a position that always gets pushed to the back. I say we bring running backs to the forefront today. What do you think?
I mean, let's do it, because I believe they are underrated, but they have tremendous value when it comes to how you win games on offense.
Yeah, so we're going to do that. Not talk quarterbacks here. We're talking running backs, doggone it. And let's start off here with a running back we love on each day of the draft. We've got 3 days, so that's going to give us 6 running backs to hit here. Let's start right now. Day one, a running back you love.
Najee Harris from Alabama. Najee Harris is the big body runner that every offense wants, not only because he can bring it from a physical standpoint, meaning he is the hammer running over all these nails on the defense side of the ball, but he has soft hands and he can make plays happen in the passing game. And so it's unusual to get someone who is 6'2", 230 pounds, who can run routes like a legitimate playmaker out of the backfield and is a capable screen runner. But that's what Najee Harris is. I believe he is someone that can anchor an offensive attack because he can do so much as an every down back.
Yeah, interesting. I thought you saw him add a little more juice here in this final season at Alabama. Saw some more quickness, saw some more explosiveness, and then his involvement in the passing game, being able to do a lot of different things with him. He's a very intriguing player. Now, I'm going to go to the guy who I believe is the best running back in the draft, and that's Travis Etienne from Clemson. And what I love about Etienne, first of all, is just the burst. I mean, he is big time speed, and you see that once he gets to the perimeter, and you see that once he gets to the second and the third level. He's very dynamic, not as much wiggle as you might like, but he's got more strength and power than people give him credit for, to be able to pull through tackles, to break tackles, and then once he gets out in the open field, he's gone. And Buck, I saw him get more involved in the passing game throughout his career. You don't just use him and swing him the ball. You can get him the ball down the field as well. He's a really dynamic player.
Yeah, really terrific playmaker in terms of his home run ability. He has that 0-60 acceleration and burst that you always want in a top end running back.
Yeah, to me, get him to an outside zone team and watch out. I saw what Jamal Charles did in his career. I see a lot of similarities there with Travis Etienne and what he brings to the table. Okay, that's day one. That's the first round. Let's go outside the first round, day two, rounds 2 and 3. A running back you would target, a running back you love.
I really like Chuba Hubbard coming out of Oklahoma State. And the reason why I like him is similar but to a lesser degree of what you described in Travis Etienne. I love the home run speed and ability. 7 carries where he went for 50 or more yards this year. And then you factor in the fact that he can catch the ball out the backfield. He does some really good things in the open field. I believe that he has an opportunity as a rotational player to be a bit of an impact player as a change of pace player.
Yeah, I was talking with a GM the other day. He brought up a great point. We were talking about how you take a committee of backs, right? And we used to say, okay, we need complementary pieces. You get one small guy, you get one big guy, get different skill sets. And he was saying, I don't think you need that anymore. I think you just get as many good backs as you can get, even if they have the same traits. As long as they can hold up in pass protection, I don't care if you have 3 200-pound backs or 3 225-pound backs. Just get good runners. I thought that was fascinating. For me, I'm going to go to your alma mater. I see those Carolina jerseys over your shoulders. I'm going to go to Javonte Williams from North Carolina, who, Buck, I'm not so sure isn't the best running back in the entire draft. I think he's very much in that conversation with the two we mentioned there in the first round, because he can give you the power that you get from Najee Harris with the size, and then I think he gives you some of that burst and quickness that you get with Travis Etienne. He's almost really the best of both worlds. And the comp for him, when you watch him, and having talked to coaches that have been on both the Georgia staff and the Carolina staff, they say this guy's an awful lot like Nick Chubb, not just as a player, but as a person, the leadership, the character, all business, all football.
Yeah, he is all football all the time, and he has been really a nice find when you think about where he's come from and how he's been able to really display not only the physicality and toughness that you want from your inside runners, but his ability to make plays in space. He's a remarkable prospect. He is someone that, you're right, he may go in the first round.
No doubt. To me, he's in that mix. All right, let's get to day three here. So we get down to the last few rounds. Give me a back you would target and why.
Jarrett Patterson from the University of Buffalo. very productive, really sneaky, explosive. 9 runs over 50 yards. Really did a great job of putting that offense on his back. And when you're looking for players on day 3, players that can come in, production is a big part of it. And when I watch him run, I watch the vision, I watch the toughness that he displays. And when you see him just kind of rack up these big games, I think he has a chance. I think he has a chance to carve out a nice role for himself in the National Football League.
Yeah, I don't know how many 8-touchdown games he's going to get in the NFL, but man, that dude was productive at Buffalo. He's fun to watch. I'm going to go to the Pac-12, Oregon State, Jamar Jefferson, who's got some size. Maybe more of a one-cut guy, Buck, but to me, tremendous vision. More likely kind of step through tackles and to lower his shoulder, really power through tackles. But to me, again, somebody who's going to be a piece of the rotation. I don't think you're going to want him as the every down guy, even though he's got some size and strength to him. But I think he's going to be a nice complimentary piece in somebody's backfield. And to me, we're talking about day 3, 4th, 5th round. To me, is a great spot for him.
It is a great spot. And you talked about it, DJ. You talked about how the trend is changing in the National Football League, where you want a bunch of good running backs. And there are a ton of good running backs in this class. We mentioned guys that could go on day 3, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of these day 3 guys end up earning bigger roles than their draft status.
Yep, and as these guys get to their pro days and finish up there, we'll get a chance to get some verified numbers on them, help sort these stacks out. But I do believe this is a very good group of running backs, and I thought we needed to give them their due. Let's talk about them early on in the process. Can't wait to see where these guys land, and we do expect a bunch of these backs to step on an NFL field and have an immediate impact. Now it's time for Be Prepared, presented by Castrol Edge. And let's take a look here at Bucky's top 5 receivers ranked in the upcoming draft. You see there at number 5, LSU, what do you know? 2 receivers on this list, Terrace Marshall Jr., Kadarius Toney, a little do-everything at Florida, a couple Alabama studs in Smith and Waddle. And then right up there at the top of the list, number 1 is LSU's Ja'Marr Chase, an absolute stud. Recently, Bucky and I had a chance to sit down and talk with Ja'Marr. Here's that conversation. All right, Buck, excited to be joined by one of the best players in the entire draft class here, LSU's Ja'Marr Chase.
Burrow to throw, going up top, looking toward the end zone, passes caught! Ja'Marr Chase, touchdown!
Ja'Marr, how you doing, man? How you feeling?
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm feeling great.
I want to start first question, just going back to the decision. Look, it was obviously a very difficult time for everybody to kind of take in all the information to do what was best for you going forward. What was it ultimately that made the decision to opt out of 2020 and start getting ready for the draft?
Everything was so overwhelming at the time. You know, it was a tough decision on me and my part and my family. So, you know, I wanted to do the best for me and my family, but I didn't really like the rules that they had going on. So I talked to my dad, and we had a sit-down conversation. He got me good.
You know, Ja'Marr, in thinking about taking that time away from your team, what have you been working on individually to continue to develop your game?
I've been working on a lot of my weaknesses, you know, trying to stay low to the ground, you know, keeping my body under control, you know, catching on the side that I know I might have weaknesses on, or the small thing that I notice about myself.
Ja'Marr, I was trying to figure out who you reminded me of when I was watching you. I wrote down on my paper, you kind of look like a faster version of Anquan Boldin. Is there anybody that you padded your game after that you studied?
I used to be a big Dez Bryant fan back then. I used to study him a lot.
Now he's going to go downfield here, adjusting and making the catch is Dez Bryant for the touchdown.
Downfield for Chase, who's got it? Touchdown, LSU!
But, you know, now I try to take as many pieces as I can and make them all in one.
You know, Ja'Marr, in thinking about all of the successful receivers that have come out of LSU, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, even your former teammate Justin Jefferson, was it about LSU that enables you guys to produce top-end playmakers at the position?
All those cats you name, you know, they all have that dog in them, you know. They want to play football. They love the game. You know, that's what they really love. That's their passion. And I think that's what's most the best about the LSU team, that we love the game the most and show it.
When you've talked with teams, I know you get a chance to talk with a couple teams, Ja'Marr. Is there anything that they present to you that maybe they were concerned with you as a player, or an area you feel like you need to get better at?
No, not necessarily. You know, they told me a few things that I should work on, but, you know, it wasn't the things that I already noticed about myself. So, you know, it's just more work that I noticed on my part and their part to help me out.
You know, in thinking about the success that your teammate Justin Jefferson was able to have right away as a rookie.
Cousins taking a deep shot. Jefferson's got separation, and he's got the catch inside the 40. Jefferson still going. See you later.
Does that give you confidence that you may be able to make an immediate impact in the National Football League?
Of course. Not just because he did it, but that's just my mindset, you know?
I want to know, are you a talker, man? Are you a talker out on the field, or are you a keep quiet and just let your play speak for itself?
I usually let my play speak for itself. You know, I'm much of a talker at practice. You know, I like to keep the energy going at practice.
You know, in thinking about this, like, you have a big pro day coming up. What are some of the things that you want to prove to scouts and coaches to have a chance to see you at your pro day?
I want to prove to them that I'm a real wide receiver, you know. To do as much as anybody else can, probably better, you know. So I'm going out there and play my game, show them what they want to see.
I want you to put your scout hat on for us here. I know you guys have about 40-something guys training with you right now. Who's somebody that stood out to you getting a chance to work out with him here over the last little while?
I would probably say JD. I call him JD. I don't know him by his real name yet, so I call him JD for short. Pretty fast guy, real explosive. I think he's from North Texas, so that's one of the guys that stood out to me the most.
There you go. It's good scouting.
that is good scouting. Other good scouting is recognizing this. So I asked you a little bit about LSU and the receivers that have come out of there, but your rival Alabama has also produced a ton of receivers. So who has the best receivers in the SEC? Is it Alabama? Is it LSU? You tell me.
You know, I'm going to say LSU, but I don't need to say nothing more. I'm pretty sure y'all going to agree with me on that.
No, look, I don't think there's a wrong answer. I don't think there's a wrong answer to that question. Last one from me, Jamar. This is the most important question. Has there ever been a time where you've had to pretend like you knew what Coach Orgeron was saying because you couldn't understand a word of it?
Yeah, I get this question all the time. But, yeah, he does it sometimes. You know, I just be like, yes, sir, you know, and then keep the question and then go back to it.
That's awesome, man. Hey, look, man, it doesn't get much better than you, man. We enjoyed watching you. We cannot wait to see you at your pro day. We'll cover it here on the network and then just watch you tear up the league as we know you will. Thanks for your time, bud. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I can't wait to be back. Thank you.
Great to catch up with Jamar Chase there. He's just an absolute stud. As we look at some other studs here, receivers selected in the top three over the last 20 drafts. You look at this list here. Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Andre Johnson, three Hall of Famers when it's all said and done once their time comes. Just phenomenal, phenomenal talents. And as we look at this year's draft, Buck, both of us in the top three have Jamar Chase going at number three to the Miami Dolphins. This is a unique talent, Buck. You can tell by talking to him there. No nonsense, and I think that's kind of the way he plays on the field as well.
Yeah, he is a no-nonsense player. And I think it's interesting when we look at the guys that have had success in that top three, they've been guys that were kind of freaks of nature in terms of high waist speeds and production. And when I look at Jamar Chase, he's a freakish, productive playmaker. When you look at the way that he played in 2019, his ability to win the 50-50 balls, his ability to really dominate on the outside, and to think that he was the number one on an offense with Justin Jefferson playing as the number two. When you look at what Justin Jefferson has been able to do in the league, man, your expectations for what Jamar Chase will do certainly are high and worthy of him being considered as a top three talent.
Yeah, I think sometimes we have different types of receivers, right? You have guys that are separators and, you know, those route runners. Then you have the guys that are more physical and can win contested catches. I think what makes him pretty unique is he does both. And while he's not 6'4", he's not 225 pounds, he plays big. And he is tough to get on the ground after the catch because of that strength to break tackles, and he can make you miss as well. Just overall, a complete wide receiver. And at the end of the day, I think if you want to go shopping for receivers, Buck, LSU, Alabama, pretty good places to hold up shop there.
Yeah, I think those places are outstanding because they produce them. We've seen those guys come from those institutions and have success. So I don't think you can go wrong with an LSU or an Alabama wide receiver.
Yeah, we're going to see all these guys go off the board quickly. I can promise you that as we get towards the NFL draft. Well, that was Be Prepared presented by Castrol Edge. And Buck, we're going to talk about a team you know very well, having played there and having done a lot of work with this franchise over the last year. That's the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that has earned the number one pick, Buck, because there's a lot of needs for this football team. How about those needs on the offensive side of the ball? What do you think?
Oh, well, I mean, first things first, you cannot compete in the National Football League if you don't have a quarterback. They need a franchise quarterback. Urban Meyer comes over. He has number one overall pick. So you have to take care of the quarterback. And then the next thing you have to have, we talk about it all the time in building your team, you need to have a left tackle. So you have to make a decision on whether you're going to pay Cam Robinson or are you going to look for a franchise offensive tackle in the draft. But you got to make sure you have a quarterback and you got to have a left tackle.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. You have the first overall pick, but you've got a pretty good young running back. You've got some good offensive linemen. You've got some intriguing weapons there on the outside. But, yeah, figuring out the left tackle situation is important, and obviously nailing that quarterback position is huge. All right, let's go over to the defensive side of the ball and look at some needs there, which is going to lead us right into our next-gen stat powered by Amazon Web Services. This is a team, Buck, that needs anybody at all that can rush the passer because they allowed a 74.7 completion percentage when a passer was not under pressure. That was the second highest in the NFL. So getting some pass rush, keeping Josh Allen out there on the field, keeping him healthy is going to be a big need for this football team. What are some of the other needs on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, DJ, you talk about the pass rush, but you don't earn the right to rush the passer if you can't stop the run. So looking at the interior, the defensive tackles, they have to find someone that can stop the run on the inside. You not only need to be able to stop the run with your defensive tackles, but now the league is going where you need an inside pass rusher. So defensive tackle has to be high on the priority list. But then you talk about that completion rate. In the back end, you need guys that can cover. Last year, they took C.J. Henderson, but some other players in the secondary, they have to be able to lock up and play man-to-man. Cornerback, safety, whoever it is, you need to be able to play man-to-man. They don't have anyone in the secondary that can do that right now.
Yeah, those numbers on the bottom of the screen are pretty damning when you think about this defense and their performance last year. Now, that was Next Gen Stats powered by Amazon Web Services. All right, Buck, this is something I've been looking forward to here. We've got something new. We're going to be doing this all spring, and that's a new business we've created, a little Move the Sticks body shop. We're going to take these teams inside the body shop and see if we can't fix these vehicles here. Some teams, not playoff teams, some teams that need a little bit of help, need a little bit of fixing. So we're going to do that today with the Jacksonville Jaguars, Buck. And when you look at trying to fix this football team, as you see what we're dealing with here in the body shop, man, my digital self needs to drop a few pounds, by the way. But we're going to try and fix this team. We've got three ways to do it in our body shop. We got to start with the most important thing. That's the engine. So to fix an engine, we're going to say that's the NFL draft. So how can they fix the engine of this car with the Jags in the draft? Then we can look at some add-ons, right? We put some add-ons on this vehicle, what we can do in free agency. And finally, some upgrades. We're going to upgrade something on this vehicle, something that's already on the car. We're going to upgrade it a little bit. You ready to get going?
Man, let's get to it. I've always dreamed of kind of being a little blue collar, kind of getting a little greasy and dirty. So this will give me a chance to do it without really having to get dirty.
Yeah, I think I might have had some overalls in the 90s, but I think I was probably going more for a kid and play look than the body shop. But that's all right. Let's get it cranking here. First overall pick. This is one way to really, really jumpstart your engine here. What do they do?
It's the most important position. So you got to take care of quarterback. Trevor Lawrence is the pick. I believe he's the only reason why Urban Meyer came out of retirement to take on this challenge. Trevor Lawrence gives them a franchise quarterback, a guy who can do it all at the position. We can talk about the physical ability, big time arm talent, great athlete, throws with touch, timing, and anticipation, but the leadership ability. This is a guy that's been a winner his entire life. He knows how to get the team to the winner's circle. You want to change the culture, you need a thermostat leader. He is someone that changes the temperature in that locker room with his ability to play.
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. Turn in that card right there. See if you can't change your franchise with Trevor Lawrence being the face of this franchise, hopefully for the next 15 years. They've got another first-round pick this year. They picked 25th overall. Let me give you a next-gen stat here, Buck. Third most touchdowns allowed on deep balls. So tied for the third most, I should say, on deep balls this last year. You cannot give up that many explosive plays on defense. I think if you can address the pass rush, that can help. But they need to get better on the back end as well. So what do they do at 25?
Well, the first thing you have to do to be a great defense, you got to be strong down the middle. And down the middle, that means safety. And so Trevon Moehrig from TCU is someone that I absolutely love when I watch him on tape. His ability to cover is outstanding. He has the ability to cover in the slot. He can take away the deep ball in the post as a deep middle defender. And he is terrific if you're one of those teams that likes to play split safety coverages. He has those abilities, and he's also solid in the run game. I like him. I think he is the right pick, the right fit for what the Jaguars want to do in the back end.
Yeah, I think it's complete safety. That versatility, I think, is going to play well. Urban Meyer's going to love that, just always around the football as well. Okay, we mentioned at the top, this is a team that's got to rush the passer better. We haven't done that here through the first two picks. Can we find one with pick 33?
Yeah, pick 33, I think, is a nice pick because this player will be able to rotate in with Kalyvon Chasen, Josh Allen. How about Joe Tryon from Washington? Man, long, rangy, heavy-handed, does a great job of getting to the quarterback. They need more bodies, more horses in the stable that they can unleash to get after the quarterback. He is one that will certainly help them improve their sack numbers and their overall ability to pressure the quarterback.
Yeah, I saw a picture of him the other day on social media. I want to say it was Instagram, and dude, that dude is a brick house. He is big and a physical power rusher off the edge. I think would be a nice complement to more of that speed rusher that you have there with Josh Allen and his ability to drop in coverage with Josh Allen as well. I think they'd complement each other quite well. So that's how we've tried to address the engine of this team, Buck, through the draft, through those first three picks. Obviously, we'll have more options later on in the draft to address some more of these needs. But let's jump on to the add-ons here. This is what we can do through free agency to try and add on to this vehicle. We've got a couple players for him we think that will help, including a player at a position that's the quarterback's best friend, and that's tight end.
Oh, yes. They haven't had a big-time tight end since Mercedes Lewis, and they need someone that can really control the middle of the field. How about Hunter Henry coming over from the L.A. Chargers to give them that security blanket in the passing game? Trevor Lawrence, they have weapons on the outside, but you want to make the easy throw right over the middle. Hunter Henry can do that. Outstanding route runner, good blocker in the run game. He gives them a veteran presence, and so I think he would be a nice security blanket for Trevor Lawrence as he acclimates to the National Football League.
All right, we've talked about fixing the engine there at the top with Trevor Lawrence with the first overall pick. I don't know, this would be like engine maintenance with this next free agent addition here. Explain this one here, our second add-on, Buck.
Alex Smith is going to be released from the Washington football team. And so when I think about Alex Smith being out there and available, he certainly fits the criteria. He played for Urban Meyer at the University of Utah. Trent Baalke is familiar with him during their time together with the San Francisco 49ers. And then all of the things that we've heard young quarterbacks talk about, the advice and the mentoring that Alex Smith did for them, first Colin Kaepernick, then Patrick Mahomes, even the young quarterbacks in the room for the Washington football team raved about Alex Smith. Who better to bring to Jacksonville to help Trevor Lawrence really acclimate to the NFL game than a guy who was a former number one overall pick, who has been through the ups and downs, who also knows your head coach and the culture that the head coach wants to implement? I think this is a no-brainer. Alex Smith would be a great fit for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, and Alex Smith might be trying to find his way somewhere where he's guaranteed a starting position. I think if Trevor Lawrence were to show up and show that he's ready to play, you know, Alex Smith would have to be waiting in the wings. But man, if you're the Jags, you want to bring him in and just say, whatever you did with Patrick Mahomes, do that right here with Trevor Lawrence. Whatever that was, we'll take it. There you have it. There's some add-ons here. Finally, the last category, we've got an upgrade. We're going to upgrade the vehicle a little bit here with something we already have, and that's Laviska Shenault. I want to give you one more next-gen stat powered by Amazon Web Services here. 6.4 air yards per target for Laviska Shenault last year. That was the fourth lowest among wideouts who had 75-plus targets. Now, he did some really good things with the ball when they got it to him underneath. After the catch, his ability to break tackles, make people miss. I love that side of his game, Buck. You can line him up in the backfield. We know that. But this is a guy, you go back to Colorado, he made a lot of plays down the field, 50-50 balls, vertical routes. I didn't think they really incorporated him as much in that area. And I would think going forward with Trevor Lawrence, man, getting more of a vertical attack, I think Laviska Shenault could be a big part of that.
I think he will be a big part of it. If you go back and track Urban Meyer's history, he has always had one of these players in his offense. Going back to Florida, Percy Harvin played in that role. Paris Campbell, Curtis Samuel. Those guys are dynamic playmakers, offensive weapons, guys that you can get the ball to. I think he has to be a more integral part of the game plan. Laviska Shenault should be utilized and really maximized because he does have the ability to put the ball in the paint.
He's a special player, man. As you can see, what we just did here in the body shop today, it's going to be a big offseason for Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've got to go out. They've got to nail the draft. They've got to bring in some quality free agents. They've got the most cap room of anybody. So they've got money to bring in guys on the veteran side. They've got a lot of picks to upgrade that roster as well. And let's see if they can maximize the talent that they already have there, because there are some good pieces in place there for the Jags. Well, as I mentioned, we're going to be doing this throughout the spring. Your team didn't make the playoffs. We're going to try and take you into the body shop and see if we can't get you fixed. Be on the lookout next week, because we're going to bring the New York Jets into the Move the Sticks body shop and see if we can't fix this. I don't want to say it's a clunker, but the car needs a lot of work. And we're going to see if we can help the Jets out next week. As we continue on with Move the Sticks, presented by Castrol Edge, he scored an incredible 75 total touchdowns during his 10-year career in the National Football League. Also caught 554 balls, over 14,000 total yards. I could go on and on with all the numbers that Matt Forte put up during his decade-long career in the National Football League. We could not be any more excited to have him join us today on the show. Matt, we appreciate you taking some time for us today, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, we're excited to have you, man. We've got something we're going to do today. We're going to trot this thing out here, because we're always doing comparisons in the scouting game. You're always comparing players, which is going to lead us to our Pro on Prospect feature today. And we're going to be taking a look at one of the top running backs in this year's draft class. That's Najee Harris. You see the same number there with Matt Forte, the double deuce. Big physical backs, but also very athletic. And Matt, we want to kind of take you through some of the things that you did well, talk about, you know, what it was that made you excel in those areas, and then give you a little bit of tape here on Najee to see what you think. I want to start with you catching the football. Your value in the passing game is something that everybody around the league appreciated. I mentioned the numbers, 554 catches, 4,672 yards. What was it that made you so effective as a receiver in this league?
I would say just that I wanted to be an all well-rounded running back, you know, every down back. Didn't want to have to come off the field on third down. And I know how important protecting the quarterback is, so being able to pick up blitzes and read defenses is important. And that was one of the main things that kind of sparked me towards being an every down back. And then also that you can get mismatches on guys like linebackers and safeties if you know how to run routes like the receivers run, and if you have good hands. And so it's really a lot of times like a screen play or a swing pass. Those are extended handoffs, but if you can extend that beyond the those short intermediate passes and go downfield or run slants and different things like that, it adds another dimension to your offense.
You know, it's funny, Matt, because you talk about adding another dimension to the offense as a pass catcher. When we look at Najee Harris, he certainly has big-time ability. But what do you see when you evaluate him and see him on tape?
When I see him on tape, I see a big back who does have soft hands and can catch the ball. I haven't seen a lot of down-the-field catches, but that's not to say that he doesn't have the ability to do that, because when I was in college, I didn't catch a lot of balls down the field. I catch a lot of screens, a lot of swing passes, a lot of check downs and those type. And once I got to NFL, I developed that into more of a receiver type ability, running option routes or slants and things down the field. So I think he has the ability to do that. I also see good patience in his running style, where he can allow his block to be developed and not get too anxious and try to hit the hole before it opens up. So I think that's a great key to have, with not only with vision, but with the patience to let his blocks develop.
That's great stuff, man. I think about backs out of the backfield, but then able to put them out in the formation, something you did a lot. You talk about guys, you know, what they do after the catch, when just flipping them a flare, just get them the ball. But then there's those guys that can do stuff before the catch to be able to run, you know, angle routes, option routes, get down the field vertical, something you did. I think Najee is going to have a chance to do some of those things. You touched on what I want to get to next is your vision, because when I go back through and look through your report, that was something that led you to that 2,000-yard season there at Tulane, your final year in college, and we all noted just how outstanding your vision was. Is that, how do you come to that point? Is this a skill? Is this through study? Is this through instincts? You know, what do you attribute your fantastic vision to?
I think it's a lot of instinct and a lot of, like, kind of God-given talent, but also it does come from studying the defense and knowing what they do, and also it's so important. I would say vision is probably one of the most important things as a running back. If you open up the NFL Bible, the first scripture is going to say, where there's no vision, running backs perish. And so when you know the defense and what kind of fronts they run, the blitzes and the slants and the stunts, sometimes you can get a key on where you're going to go before the play develops. And then that just adds to you playing faster. And we know how fast the NFL game is compared to the transition out of college. So vision is key, but also not only using the God-given, you know, talent to have that vision, but also using your mind where you can study the defense and know what they're going to do.
You mentioned vision when you were briefly describing Najee earlier. When you see him with the ball in his hands as a runner, do you see some of those traits?
Yeah, definitely. You see he likes to get his shoulders square to the line of scrimmage, which is good, and get that early. And then when you press the hole, that's the one thing that coaches will always tell you when you come out of high school and you're in college and you're trying to learn how to transition. And then also sometimes guys don't learn it in college because the holes are wide open, but when you get to the NFL, you got to press the hole to make so that your offensive lineman can get to the second level and get on those linebackers. The linebackers are smart. They've seen inside and outside zones their whole career. So if you press the line, sometimes you can make a good cutback run, or you can hit the hole right up the middle.
One of the other things you guys share is your physicality. And Matt, when you look at guys with your body types, to be able to play with low pad level can't be easy. But how important was it for you to play with that physical edge as a runner?
It's the most important, too, besides vision, I would say, is to, you know, as a tall guy, you know, Najee is 6'2", I'm 6'2", as well. So to be able to keep your pads low, for one, you know, he's a little bit bigger than I was. He's 230. I was about 225. So, you know, you can, you know, punish defenders in the third level. And then also when, you know, the game gets going and you're in the third and fourth quarter and they think you're going to try to run over them, that's when you run by them. So you really can set up a lot of runs to make what looks like a 10, 15 yard gain to be 50 and 60 by doing that. And so this game is physical. It has become more, some people say, like a passing league. But once you get the ball in your hands, you still got to be physical to be able to break tackles. And especially, you know, a guy like Najee with that size, if you're able to make the first guy miss, that's one of the key factors in recruiting a running back that you think can make it at the next level.
You know, it's funny because you talk about the physicality. I hear coaches always talk about as a runner, you either the hammer or you're the nail. When you look at Najee Harris, does he have enough of that physicality to be that fourth quarter beast that teams love to give the ball to?
Yeah, if you look at, you know, his stats in college, I don't think he averaged under 5 yards a carry. And also he's got good moves. You see the spin move right there. And he's a big guy. And I think he knows that, you know, the good thing about it is that he knows he's a big guy. So when you know that you can use your pass to get extra yards and, you know, run up on corners and force the safeties and cornerbacks to tackle, sometimes those guys, when it gets late in the game, they don't want to do that. So when you can become the hammer for your team and you got that endurance and the ability to consistently be that, I think he does, and the size and the speed that he has will aid him in being that.
Last thing for you on Najee here, as he's getting ready to embark on his journey, coming from a 10-year vet who did it at a very high level, any piece of advice you'd have for him?
Never be satisfied. That's my main advice to a guy like him, is that you can come out, you can have a good season, you could be the league rushing champ 1 year, and the next year, if you tank it, they're going to say you all beat up. So never be satisfied with just one great season or two great seasons. You got to be consistent over a long period of time. And so if you look at it, most of the guys who've played 10, 12, 14 years, or some of the guys like Frank Gore who's still playing, Adrian Peterson, they've been consistent their entire career. And so that's how you become great.
That is awesome, man. Appreciate you on that, Matt. I want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on in the league right now. Looking at the quarterback position around the league during your time, can you remember a time where we've seen more shakeup and what could be more potential shakeup at the most important position on the field?
No, this is very interesting, and it seems like there's a trend of some guys who are franchise quarterbacks that I guess aren't so happy with the franchise and want to move on or want to switch teams or whatnot. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out, but I can't remember a time where it was like that. You know, sometimes they had a really great quarterback on not such a good team, and he just played his career out there. So maybe guys are speaking up more, and they're wanting to use their leverage of being that most important position on the field to make some changes within the organization or to switch organizations.
You know, man, you came into the league where the running back was still viewed as a marquee position. Now, when you hear the conversation about running back, you hear people say, well, I can get a running back anywhere and just kind of plug him and play him. Explain to me why the running back still is valuable and why there's a difference in those elite runners and the guys that are just kind of rotational players.
Yeah, there is a difference, and there's a fine line between that, because you can, you know, plug and play. I mean, any position, really, you can plug and play guys. But when you treat your guys like that, you know, I don't think the teams that really do that are that successful. And it depends on their philosophy on offense, too. You see, there's some teams who do running back by committee, but they have that franchise-type quarterback who can take over and make plays that a lot of other guys can't, or make throws that other guys can't. So when we're talking about, you know, pass catching running backs and every down backs in the league, those don't come a dime a dozen. And so when you got a guy who you don't have to change personnel with, and you can do hurry up offense, you know, they know how to blitz protect, and you don't have to get multiple guys to get in there and change position. You can catch the defense off guard sometimes with that. But also, when I talked about earlier, the mismatches. I mean, if you put, you know, a running back in the slot, and a linebacker's got to cover him, and he's running all kind of routes. He's running corner routes from in the slot and stuff. Linebackers aren't used to guarding those guys that can do that. And so when you got, you know, say a tight end like Travis Kelce, and then you got, you know, Tyreek Hill, but then you got a running back who can do these things and run crossing routes, it opens up those guys a lot more, as well as the guy who can catch the ball out of their backfield.
Matt, I want to get your take on this. We've been talking about this for a couple years now, and talking with NFL guys as well as our college buddies. Positionless football, kind of where it's going. You were one of those types of players. You literally could line up at wide receiver. You could split out. You'd be in the slot. You could be anywhere. But kind of we're seeing more of this. Bucky's kind of called them some of these wing backs that the Niners have used a bunch of these guys, where they could throw them in the backfield. They can be in the slot. You can split them out wide. And then we're seeing it defensively with guys that one play might be a safety and one play they're a linebacker, you know, they're flat defenders. How much of an advantage is it for you offensively to have guys like that? And then how much of a challenge is it to prepare for a defense when you've got guys that can do so many different things?
Yeah, so obviously the game, you've probably heard it before, it's all about matchups. And so those hybrid guys, it's hard to get a gauge on those matchups because they can do so many things, and it's a threat via the defense, because you got a guy who's, you know, safety size or actually in between safety linebacker, and you know, he can come down and hit, and he's physical, but also he's faster than usual, you know, the normal linebacker. So it's hard for linemen to get to him. So that creates a problem right there. But then also, if you got these guys, you know, we kind of moved away from the fullback position. They call them H-backs now, and they can kind of in between the fullback and the tight end size, and they can do many different things. You've seen guys, you know, they can even throw the ball as well, being an H-back. So it just adds, like we're talking about, the different dimensions of an offense. You can't pigeonhole that offense into being just a running team or just a passing team or a balanced team. They can do many different things, and those hybrid guys really create mismatches on defenses when, you know, they don't fit in that cookie cutter set of, oh, I'm an outside linebacker, or I'm a safety, or I'm an H-back, or I'm a fullback, or whatnot.
Oh, this has been awesome, man. You've been very generous with your time today, Matt. You're a pleasure to scout, a pleasure to watch during your NFL career, and it's been great to catch up with you, man. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, appreciate you guys' time, too, and keep doing what you guys are doing. Love watching y'all.
Well, the 2021 NFL Draft presented by Verizon is right around the corner. It all starts Thursday, April 29th, as Urban Meyer and the Jags go on the clock with the first overall pick. Make sure to keep following us as the draft approaches for the most in-depth scouting reports and evaluations. All right, Buck, we are headed into pro day season. No combine this year, so I would say the pro days take on even more significance, where we can finally get some verified numbers on these guys, not just the testing. We don't even know the heights and the weights for the majority of the players in this draft class. So a very important pro day season. Let's talk about a couple players that have a lot riding on it, and let's go with one apiece. Or why don't you start us off?
Here we go. Let's go to North Carolina. Dyami Brown, wide receiver. He is a big-time, big-play prospect, someone who specializes in really running the vertical route tree. His ability to get open on these go routes really is second to none. And so if you're a team that's looking for a big-play threat, someone that can take the top off the defense and give you those explosive plays, Brown has to be near the top of your list. watching him run, watching him work out at the pro day, it will be important to see how he run routes. Can he do the other stuff that you want your wide receivers to do in terms of the intermediate route running portion of it? But as a deep ball threat, he's one of the best in the business. I want to see how he works out.
Yeah, no doubt. We know he can get vertical, 20 yards a catch, getting over the top. He was outstanding there. I'm looking forward to that pro day. Man, so many good players at Carolina. Watching him get out of the break and run the full route tree will be fun. I'm going to stay, and this sounds weird, in the ACC with Notre Dame. Still trying to wrap my mind around the fact that Notre Dame was actually affiliated this year. But Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, their linebacker, some view him as a safety. He was listed at 215 pounds. We all agree he's a phenomenal, explosive athlete who's a playmaker on the football field. The question is, where do you play him? And he can do a lot of different things. Well, he's listed at 215. You hear reports maybe he drifted down closer to like 205 at one point in time this season. So he's one of those ones. I just want to see how big he is at the pro day. Is he going to try and go up in weight to kind of play in the box as a stack linebacker? Or is he going to try and lean up and be closer to 200 pounds and really be kind of that strong safety? So fascinating to see what teams are going to, where they're going to put him as we go through this draft process.
You know, it's funny when you talk about where teams are going to put him, because I think he is dynamic. His second level sideline to sideline ability is really intriguing, but also the cover skills that he brings. I don't know if you want to play him as a traditional linebacker, but some of these teams that are using these positionless players on the second level, we really find him fascinating as a prospect.
Yeah, I know once you get to third down, he can cover tight ends and backs, and you can blitz him. So that is going to be very valuable with his explosiveness coming into play there. And you add into that the leadership and the intangibles, which I've been told are off the charts from the folks there at Notre Dame. So he's going to be a fun one to watch. The North Carolina Pro Day, the Notre Dame Pro Day, all those Pro Days, we're going to have them covered right here on NFL Network. So stick with us. It's going to be a wild, fun ride as we march towards the NFL Draft. While in our unbiased opinion, the Move the Sticks podcast is the best podcast, we think you'll like the other podcasts at the NFL Media Group as well. And you can find those at NFL.com/podcast, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your favorite episodes. One of our shows you might enjoy is our buddies at the Around the NFL podcast, who tackled free agency recently with a hint of mirth.
101 is Mitch Trubisky. And I am not a Mitch Trubisky fan, but can you honestly tell me that these men should be separated by 75 plus spots? Or you've been drinking this Winston juice for so long, and now on top of you digging in your heels back with Wes during the times of Mariota Winston back at draft time, now he's got that New Orleans Saints like slickness on him, and you love that too. Like, why? How in the hell is Jameis Winston a top 25 free agent based on the tape he's put out there in his entire NFL career? Come on now.
I did put in the intro how I heard Wes's voice often while doing these. And, you know, one of it was like, you got to be kidding me with Jameis Winston. I mean, he would have put him at 75.
It's a disgrace.
I can definitely still hear Wes's voice fighting that battle with Rosie, no doubt. Be on the lookout, though. Read that. Greg does a great job breaking down those free agents. They do a wonderful job of discussing it there on the Around the NFL pod. Let's get to some questions here, Buck. I put it out on social, a little hashtag AskMTS. Said we'd answer some questions here as we finish up the show. So let's knock through a couple of these. I'll give you the first one here. Your thoughts on the likelihood the Eagles draft a QB at 6?
You know, I'm fascinated by this only because Howie Roseman's comments are ringing in my head, because he talked about wanting to have a quarterback factory. So if you're at 6 and let's just say Justin Fields is there and you're doing the evaluation between Justin Fields and Jalen Hurts or Trey Lance and Jalen Hurts, do you want to bring both of those guys in and have a quarterback competition because of the money that you would allocate? You have rookie contracts in. It's not really prohibitive because Jalen Hurts doesn't cost anything after you get past the dead cap space. I think it'd be fascinating to see Philadelphia take that approach, because I have talked about it and we've talked about it on the podcast, taking a collegiate approach with the quarterbacks. Maybe this is an opportunity for the Eagles to do that.
Yeah. If you can upgrade that position, do it. All right, let's get one more here. What do we got? Next question. This one, with increased variation in schemes, both offense and defense, are teams going to put more value on versatility? I think that's something that we've always discussed on the podcast, Buck. Yeah, absolutely. You're trying to find guys that can do multiple things on both sides of the ball. Receivers that you could line up in the backfield. You talk about safeties that you could put down in the box or can cover in the slot. Yeah, versatility is huge.
Yeah, positionless football. We've talked about the league trending that way, not only on offense with these wide receivers that can play like wingbacks and running backs, but defense, safeties playing like linebackers, corners coming back to play safety. Absolutely, we're seeing that shift where versatility is really coveted.
Yeah, look in the NFC West. If you want to see it on the offensive side of the ball, look what the Niners are doing. You want to see it on the defensive side of the ball, look what the Arizona Cardinals are doing, trying to be as multiple and versatile as possible. Well, this has been a fun show today, Buck. We had a blast. I want to thank Matt Forte for joining us. It was great to visit with him, as well as Jamar Chase. We've had a great time. We do want to encourage you guys to check out the Move the Sticks podcast and all of our video content, nfl.com/mtsvideo. We'll catch you next time right here on Move the Sticks, presented by Castrol Edge.